This message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Amusan Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
3, 2, go! And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith.
Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for today again. We rejoice in the God of our salvation. Thank you for what you're set to do today by your spirit and through the instrumentality of your word. Our hearts and our minds are opened to be educated, to be taught, to be instructed in righteousness. We receive your word with meekness and we declare that we are doers and not just hearers alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Philippians 1 and verse 25, it says, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. I want to tell you something quickly before I begin today's teaching. Today's meeting is prophetic. Are you hearing me? It's prophetic. And I'm talking about God working out things beyond human imagination. Glory to God. Amen. Now in Philippians 1 verse 25, here was Paul. If you read from verse 23, Paul was like, hey, I am in between two. I am thinking whether to die or to live. Hey, that in itself gives me a mindset that death can't take me at its own will. I choose to go when I want to go. Because Paul was in between two. He said it was either to live or to go. He was contemplating whether to leave or to go be with the Lord, which is far better. But Paul finds a better reason to stay. He says, nevertheless, I'm having this confidence that it is better for me to stay, for staying back is needful for you. He says, I'm having this confidence. I shall abide and continue with you. So this is the mind of Paul to the church in Philippi. He said he wants to stay back for one singular reason. He says, for your furtherance and joy in the faith. Wow. So that means Paul considers spiritual growth of his members and their growth in their joy life as a fundamental reason why he should stay back. That means Paul must have rated spiritual growth and joy life as a personal yardstick of an impactful ministry. So you see, but the church has dwelt so much on furtherance. The word furtherance there is from the Greek word prokope. That's what we call spiritual growth. But very little emphasis has been placed on joy. And that's what I want to share with you today. You see, joy and spiritual growth are one and the same. I told you last week, I said there is no way you're going to grow spiritually and not grow in your joy life. And as a matter of fact, joy is a strategy in the spirit. I want to share with you today what I've captioned, the weapon of joy. In other words, joy as a weapon. You see, what I'm sharing with you today, for some of you, I prophesied before the end of this service. Oh, thank you, Lord. I just saw in my spirit, some of you are walking out of troubles. You're walking into abundance. Yes, glory to God. It's a prophetic meeting. And you see, and that's what God does. It trains us in the God life. You have to realize that when you got born again, you left a particular kingdom and you came into a new kingdom. And in this kingdom, there's a way things are done. And you see, in Ephesians 4 verse 11, he says he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. He says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Then in verse 15, he says one of the primary purpose why he gave ministry to pastor precisely, he says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So God wants us to grow into him in all things. Somebody say all things. Say it again. In Ephesians 5 verse 1, the Bible says, be ye imitators of me, dear little children. So God wants us to be imitators of him. He's training us. And you see, the church is the school of the spirit. And it has been designed of God that he's going to place a leadership in the church. That's why there is no way online meeting is going to substitute for physical gathering. There is no way. It will never happen till Jesus comes. Because Hebrews 10:25 says not to forsake the gathering of our togetherness. In Psalms 133, the Bible says how beautiful it is when brethren gather together in unity. He says it is like the oil that flows from the hair of Aaron down to his beard, even to his skirt. He says, for there God commands the blessing. There's a blessing of gathering that can never be touched or be compromised. So, you see, our physical gathering is important. Glory to God. It's important. And that's why in God's scheme of things in the kingdom, to grow us. Listen, there are some things that if you never saw anybody do them, if you are never trained in them, you may never function in them. Listen, the way you were born, when you were born as a baby, if you never saw any human being, you were kept in a room, you were fed with engines, a robotic was designed somehow to change your napkin at several hour intervals, it has been programmed somewhere, you never saw any human being. Listen, and you were kept in that confined environment for, let's say, maybe 70 years or thereabout. Listen, you will grow blind. You will be deaf. You will not be able to walk. You will be lame. It has been proven scientifically. Because the reason why you can walk was because somehow you saw people walking when you were a kid. So you tried to make a move. At one time, you were trailing. All right? They bought you that trailer and you were moving it. Sometime later on, you threw it off and you began to walk. You took the first step, you fell down. They said, walk! You said, you did. You fell down again, you stood up again. It was because you saw people doing it. So when you got born again, you had siblings in the kingdom. So when we gather, there's a training in the spirit. And you see, God's designed to train us. For us to begin to respond to things the way he does, for us to begin to respond to stimuli the way he does, is set a local assembly. Listen, the local assembly is God's strategy for your upbringing in the things of the spirit. If it's all about knowledge, you could have just go and read your Bible, or a message can be passed across to you somehow, somewhere. Some books can be read and you get some knowledge. But no, you see, our gathering is important because there is such a thing as the corporate anointing. There is such a thing as the gathering of the saints. The Bible calls it the blessing. There's a blessedness of gathering. You see, in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, the Bible says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now, this was Paul talking to the church in Corinth. He says, be ye followers of me. He admonishes them to follow him. So, question is, how do you follow? Instructions. The word of God will be taught. You listen to it again and again and again. The same thing he told the church in Thessalonica. And when you hear this word, it will produce joy in you. It wouldn't matter what you're going through. When you hear the gospel, it will produce in you joy. It's a proof of spiritual growth. To the church in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, and ye became followers of us. This was Paul talking to the church in Thessalonica. He says, and ye became followers of us. How? He says, and of the Lord. Can you see that? You became followers of us and of the Lord. Because when you follow us, you follow the Lord. He now says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. Then he tells you how. He says, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They were in affliction, yet they received the word in joy of the Holy Ghost. You see, there is something about the gospel that commands a response of joy in the one who is born again. If you see an individual who doesn't respond to the gospel with joy, it either is ignorant or is not born again. Because that's what separates you from an unbeliever. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, it says, the devil, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of people, lest they see the glory and the beauty in the gospel. But you, when you hear the gospel, you respond with joy. When you hear about what God has done for you in Christ, you respond with joy. Because you see, it's an innate thing. You were born with it at salvation. So when you hear the gospel, it, the embers are fanned. Shout amen, somebody. You see that? So it's a training in the spirit. And at first, you may not feel yielding to it. And that's why you have to be in a garden where you will be taught. It's a training in the spirit. It's a training. And that's why followership is very important. Paul urged the church in Corinth. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 16, he says, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." That's what Paul told the church in Corinth. There is something about followership, because as you follow, you hear the word, you follow the Lord, you learn the things of this kingdom. Listen, the same way in the natural, your nose, your nostrils, you smell with it, you feel with your skin. Come on now. You taste with your tongue. In the same vein, there are spiritual senses that you got. And in the school of the spirit, you are taught how to respond to stimuli. Let me give you an instance. Naturally speaking, for example, when a bad situation faces itself to you, you're naturally going to respond in paranoia or in panic of some kind. But there's a training in the spirit. Do you know, last night when I was studying and I was preparing for this message, I realized that in the New Testament, almost every time that believers were admonished to rejoice, the context was not a palatable situation. In James 1:2, it says, "Count it all joy when you what? Fall into diverse tests." Can you say that? To the church in Philippi, he wrote to them, he says, "Rejoice. I say unto you again," what? "Rejoice." Then he says, "Rejoice evermore." Look at the context. The context was a situation that is not palatable. And that's why he went further in verse 6. He says, "Don't murmur. Let your complaint, your troubles, cast it on the Lord." Can you see the context? It was in that context he says to rejoice. So rejoicing is a response of the recruited human spirit to the gospel that we hear. Glory to God. I said glory to God. And you see, one of the things, like I've said last week, that really points to the fact that you're growing is your joy life. You should be able to draw the graph of your joy life. Your joy life should always, you know, increase, not decrease. And like I said, this is what separates you from an unbeliever. The fact that you can see glory and beauty in what you hear us teach is a proof that indeed you were saved. Because talking about salvation, Prophet Ezekiel prophesied about our recreation. He talks about how that the Lord will put a new heart in us. He will take the heart of stone and he will put the heart of flesh. What do you mean by heart of flesh? It's a metaphor. It's a figure of speech for an easily entreated heart. A heart that can easily be entreated. In other words, then in verse 27, oh boy, unlike in the Old Testament where he has to give them rules and regulations. Are you listening to me? Where he has to give them the law and he has to give them regulations. In the New Testament, Ezekiel prophesied about the man in Christ. He says, "I will put my spirit within you and I will cause you to walk in my statute." That means you no longer need the law of 10 commandments of Moses anymore. Of a sudden, you realize that you didn't receive a new regulation. You received the regulator. So the regulator now lives in you and it makes you automatically, you just realize that you are easily entreated in the things of God. The things of God now interest you. Nobody has to force you to do the things of God anymore. When they say God is good, you rejoice at it. Why? Because there's already a new spirit within you. There is a regeneration on the inside. God has worked on your heart. There is a heart transplant that has taken place in the spirit. This is the new creation. This is our normal. This is how we respond. We respond to things with joy. Glory to God. Listen, it's satanic when they say shout glory and you go glory, glory. You think you are being posh. It's satanic. And I do not mean it lightly. I mean exactly what I said. It's satanic not to savour the things that be your God. Did you remember? In Matthew 16, the Bible says in verse 21 that Jesus began to talk about how he will die, how he will be resurrected. The Bible says, and Peter took him beside and said, "Far be it, Lord." The Bible says, Jesus looked at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan. For thou savourest things that be not of God but of man." So when somebody is not responding to the things of God, there's an issue. It either the person is not born again or his understanding is darkened. It's satanic. How can you hear of what God has done and not rejoice? How can you be so fixated on the one thing you need, forgetting the 99 things he has done? What are you talking about? Rejoice, somebody! Rejoice, somebody! Yeah! 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 We can do it some more! Rejoice! Rejoice in the Holy Ghost! Rejoice in the God of your salvation! Glory to God! Hallelujah! It's our life! It's our life. And see, somebody is wondering, how does this solve my problem? That's what we're saying. It's a training in the spirit. We are imitating God. And when we say rejoice, you don't say, well, do I have to shout? Of course, you've got to. You've got to. You have to. Thank you. You see, you can't rejoice inside. You will blow up. I don't know if you have been in a situation where something funny, but you're trying to... you blow up! Joy has to be responded. And you see, it has to be expressed. And much more, do you know what? Joy has to be shared. Have you ever experienced a situation where you're maybe somebody, a friend of yours sent you a video, a very funny video from Instagram or Facebook or something, and then you saw it and you laughed. But it wasn't enough. You wanted to share with your friend. Then you sent to your friend, but you didn't get the right response. Then the next thing is you pick the phone and you call. How far, babe? You never see the message where I send you. I never see and check. Later the person now called back and said, I have seen the video. Ah, the thing is funny. Then you should begin to laugh. Ah, that was when your joy came to fullness, because joy has to be shared. Has to be shared. So when you rejoice that way, and that's why you see many people don't really understand how this thing works, and that's why the church is instituted. Joy must be expressed, joy must be shared. We store that with God. You see, many people have never pictured God as a joyful being, because growing up as kids, we all saw Nollywood where they depict God to us as one austere being. And I don't know why most times they always depict him as an old man with white hair. Maybe because they saw the Bible refer to him as Ancient of Days. I don't know. You know, always with a stick of some kind. I don't know. Maybe they don't understand immortality. They don't understand 1 Timothy 6 verse 16, where the Bible says God is the only potentate. He alone has immortality. Do you know immortality? Don't worry, you will experience it when Jesus comes. You will experience it when Jesus comes. You will see where you can't feel sick. Mosquito can't bite you. You don't need all those mascara, massacre. You don't need all those things anymore. You don't need, everybody will be fine like fish. Hiya, yeah. I won't have to spend money on Medicaid. I'll just look fresh like that. Just like that. Ha ha. Glory! Hiya! Hallelujah! Amen! Ha! Glory to God! God also responds to situations that way, with joy. Much more. That is his lifestyle. And he doesn't just rejoice inside like, no. He expresses it. And two major ways he does, like I've shown you before, is God sings. You see, many have never pictured a singing God. See, Prophet Zephaniah talked about God. He says, look at it, Zephaniah 3:17. He says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee. Now, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is talking about Emmanuel. So Zephaniah was prophesying about Jesus. And the Lord our God in our midst there talks about God with man, Emmanuel. He now prophesied about what that Emmanuel will do. But he has done it now. Amen. He says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. Has he saved? He said, he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Can you see that? God is going to rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Wow. So God is going to sing. Now, his singing is not even the major issue yet. The major issue is, what was he singing about? He was singing about saving you. He was singing about how that you will be brought up into life from death. He was singing about how you will be saved eternally. That was what he was singing about. Can you imagine? God was singing about your salvation. He was singing. He's singing about you. Sister Joy, Kai, Sister Joy will be saved. He was singing about your salvation. Now the salvation has taken place and you are still staying in sadness. How come? So now it should be the Lord our God in me is mighty. He has saved. He has forgiven. He has resurrected me unto life. Shout amen, somebody. Singing. Some people, they don't know how to sing. And let me tell you something about singing. It has nothing to do with how sonorous your voice is. Listen, if singing has to do with how sonorous your voice is, someone like me should never sing. Because I have a bunch of keys. Several keys. Amen. You know some people, when they are singing, someone like me, for instance, oh, worship the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord is good. Angels were like, shut up. You are disturbing our ears. I'm just joking anyway. Glory to God. And that's why the vital thing that is needed in a song is the lyrics. Otherwise, someone like us won't have hope at all. Because no voice. Glory to God. Learn to sing. Sing. That's how you express joy. That's how you express joy. I just showed you that God was singing about saving you. Even when he became flesh, he was on the cross there. The Bible says he endured the shame. The Bible says, look at it, Hebrews 12 verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. You are the joy that made him endure the cross. It was you, it was sin that made him endure the cross. He was thinking that anyways, if I die now, shall be a corn of wheat. It will bring forth thousands and millions and billions of many harvests of seeds. Can you see that? That's what he was saying in John 12, 24. He says, a corn of wheat, it abides alone, but when it dies, it will bring forth harvest of many fruits. So you were the one Jesus saw that made him endure the cross. You were his motivation. You were his motivation. You were the reason why he was rejoicing. You were the reason why he was singing. Now he's delighting in wanting you to also delight in what he delighted in. You see, you were his delight. Because he was anticipating that you will come into him in his son. Now you have come in him. He wants you to take that same delight and delight in it. Just like a joy has to be shared. Like I told you, that when you see a funny movie or a funny song or a short opera, you just want to share with friends so that the friends too can respond back in the same way you acted when you first saw it. The same way God wants you to rejoice. He wants you to rejoice in him, in what he has done. Singing. Another way God responds, you see, this is a training in the spirit. The next one is laughing. Many have not even pictured a singing God. Talk more of a laughing God. Haven't you read? Listen, once upon a time, there were people on earth, who were planning to stop the salvation plan of God for humanity. So the prophets, You see, God anticipates that some people will try to stop his redemption plan. You can see it in Genesis, in Exodus. You can see it even when Jesus was born. Pharaoh killed 2 years old children downward. It has been all about the seed. The devil thought it was Abel at first. It has always been about the seed, because the prophetic word in Genesis 3:15 that God gave, he says, the seed of a woman will bruise your head. Ever since then, it has been a war. Are you hearing me? So God anticipates his enemies to stop the salvation plan, and he used a prophet to prophesy about it. He says, why do the heathen rage? In Psalms 2, look at it. It says, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. This is a communication in our community. Look at how he responds to issue. He says, he is calling their plot a vain thing. In verse 2, he says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers of the world, they take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. His anointed here means his Messiah. Then verse 3, he says, look at what they were saying to themselves. Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. Verse 4 now tells us how God responds to them. The Bible says, he that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. Laugh in the Holy Ghost. Hey! Now, it doesn't make sense physically that you have faced the challenge, that some people are plotting evil against you, that your enemies are planning evil against you, and you respond with laughing. That's godliness. That's how God reacts to situations. He laughs. God was like, now come too late. Now I want to stop my salvation plan. You don't know me. God is like, you don't know me. I am a master strategist. You don't know me. When you think you're going to kill Joseph, you will push him to the real place where he will become a king. That's me. Don't you understand? That's where God works. When they thought, listen, does it make any sense that the way God was going to save the man was the same thing that humanity thought they were going to use to stop his plan? By killing Jesus, oh boy. Apostle Paul says, had the world known, had the prince of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It doesn't make sense that the way he will save us from death is by dying. So that means even when people plan, I'm showing you how things work in the spirit. So that even if people put up themselves somewhere and they say, I'll finish you today, this is your hand. That thing they call hand, because you serve a master strategist, he is going to use, that is the, that stopping point will be his strategy to actually bring elevation to you. That's the way God works. God can be caught unawares. Never. Look at this corona, for example, now, COVID-19, that has kept many people, especially in the US and UK, at home. People no longer gather in church as we used to before. Guess what? In the history of humanity, this is the first time a single man of God and another man of God will gather together and hold a TV prayer meeting, and they will have 5 billion people followed. Do you know what is 5 billion? The whole world itself is 7.8 billion. And two people will hold a TV program and call for Christians to pray online, and they will have 5 billion people. So right there, while Satan was thinking he wants to shut people in, it became the real strategy to reach people at home. Because, oh boy. Before, you have to go and knock on door, they will say they are not at home. Now they are at home. Technology has the same... Rejoice! I say rejoice! God, listen, you have to understand the things of the spirit. Otherwise, you'll just be living like a normal being. Because normally, people respond with crying to issues. People respond with bad, headlong to situations. It's normal, but that's not your own normal. We have a super normal. Are you hearing me? The way we respond in the kingdom is different. Like our God, we sing. Like our God, we rejoice. Like our God, we laugh. Glory to God. That's my kingdom. Shout it, hey, somebody. Yeah. And you see, what's interesting about what God was laughing about again is this. He was laughing about his salvation plan. That means there is something about this salvation thing. Let me tell you, joy is a big business in heaven. A big time booming business. Don't you know what the Bible says, that there is joy in heaven, even among angels, for one soul that repented? That means each time somebody is gotten saved, that means there's a party in heaven. And the party, the centerpiece of the party is about salvation. That salvation is in you. You are born of God. You have the Spirit in you. Listen, you have every reason to rejoice. And you see, the church has not taken advantage of this. That's why we have resorted into flesh. That's why we bring comedians to church. Why? Because the joy of salvation has been lost. Listen, let me tell you. You can't lose salvation. Salvation can't be lost, but you can lose the joy of salvation. Just keep hearing the wrong thing again and again, again. Just keep hearing the wrong thing. You realize that you get saddened, you get older, you get sunken. There will be no, because listen, the world system is designed to make you see natural things as your source of joy. But in our kingdom, we understand, Hebrews 11:3. It says, for we understand by faith that the world were framed by the word of God. So our source of joy are not on ephemeral things. So we take our strength for joy from the things Christ has done for us. That's our kingdom. That's our kingdom. And you see, things were written in scripture for our learning, for our admonition. Romans 15 verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, for our admonition, that we through comfort of scriptures might find hope. That means when I read scriptures and I see how things were done in the God way, I learn from it. It becomes a prototype for me. I see God responding to his enemies, so I see him responding to his enemies with laughter. I do the same. That means it doesn't matter how many people are planning against me. I know I will break them asunder. I know they came too late, because I know that I have a supernatural strategy of God. The Spirit of God is going to turn it up. The Bible says when the enemy comes in, then like a flood, the Lord will rise up his standard. Many people have not read that scriptures properly. They thought when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Holy Ghost will now raise up his standard. No. You know, the original scripture was not in English. It was in Hebrew and Greek. And there were no punctuations in those old languages. It was theologians that put punctuations. And in some places, they made wrong mistakes. Very bad mistakes. Like in the case of John 9, where most people have built some theology of God doing evil. Because the child was born blind, and the parents asked, who sins that this guy was born blind? And, you know, they said, is it the parent that has sinned or the boy? Then Jesus said, neither the parent nor the son. That was where they're supposed to put full stop. But they're now going to continue, but that the glory of God might be fulfilled. Wrong. Full stop supposed to be there. Then the next verse should be, but that the glory of God be fulfilled, I have come to do the will of God of him that sent me. And we saw that immediately the child was healed, isn't it? If it was the glory of God for the child to be blind, he should have remained blind. So punctuation sometimes can change the statement. So when the Bible says that when the enemy comes in, comma, then like a flood, comma, or semicolon, the Lord will raise up his standard. Like a flood. Glory to God. We are never disadvantaged. Are you hearing me? Never. 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 Glory to God. And you see, I told you I want to share with you on joy as a weapon. In 5 minutes, I'll be done. Listen to me. I told you this meeting is a prophetic meeting. There are things in the spirit. And this is how I have responded to issues. I prayed for an individual one time, and the person felt the power of God on phone. And then he was broken loose of that affliction. And while I closed my eyes, I saw witches. I'm not giving you Nollywood. Witches, they just came to my room. I just laughed. Before I know, they left. Listen, I'm showing you how we do things in the spirit. Listen, let me tell you. You could be a businessman. You could even be maybe a musician, gospel artist, or whatever. Do you think when you hear someone like Sinanj, they say a song beats the likes of 50 Cent on Billboard, US American song Billboard. That's some power, friends. Because listen, these guys in the world, listen to me. These guys in the world, they know that there's a spirit realm. It is we that we don't know that we come up with religion that God has taken. God, listen, do you know if they want to release a song, they will take it to their witchcraft. See, you might be saying it doesn't work. Hey, Everything works. My dad told me one time when they promoted him in the office, that was many years ago. They promoted him in the office, so he was going to leave downstairs to go to upstairs where his new office would be. He was going to be sitting with the architect in the office, the real big guy. So now he's promoted. My dad got to work that morning and an unusual headache. Not migraine, no. You know the headache that will keep him rolling on the ground. It was by God he got himself to the, he went to pray. He was there fasting and praying. When he came back the next day to work, they were congratulating him that, congratulations, that you made it. They didn't hide, they congratulated him. So when you hear people say, people die at their prime, you think it's ordinary. And foolish Christians will say, hey, yeah, God has given, God has taken. Listen, the world lies in darkness. You have to understand how this thing works. Don't be foolish. That's why if you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. And if you want to be whatever else you want to be, do it. Now you sabi, but just know hell is waiting for you. You know, our parents don't know so much. They don't know so much theology. They don't know so much pneumatology. They don't know so much Christology. They don't know most of these things. But they know the power of God. They know the power of God. You know, my dad will always tell me, he said, son, I will not let the one witch in the village to kill me. Then the witch will now go to heaven. We will now meet in heaven again. So my dad believed in eternal salvation. I never knew. You don't get the gist. He will say, I'm not going to let one witch kill me. I'll come go heaven finish. The witch too, before he died, will come give him life to Christ. We'll come meet for heaven again. No. In other words, what he's saying is, hey, I will tie my gadu. I'm going to stand fast in the faith. I'm going to be full-time fire. Always hot, no coldness. I woke up in the morning with tongues. You step into the day with a sense of mastery, with joy of the Holy Ghost within you. It could be carrying your drunk, but you're not bothered. Because those things no longer become your focus. This is how we deal with things in the spirit. God was going to overthrow some cities and give it to his children, Israelites. All the Hittites, you have read it, right? Jebusites, Nebusites. And some people ask questions like, Pastor, why would God even want to destroy some people, you know, to get some people into it? It's simple. And it's not for today's theology, and I'll explain later. Amen. You know, these people were worshipping some gods that God was fed up with. God has given them centuries to repent, but they refuse. One of the most horrible ones is Molech. Molech was a big bronze god with an outstretched arms like this. The bronze is always heated with fire. And what that Molech takes from them is sacrifice of babies. So, and the image is so huge. Oh, that stuff is... The thing is so huge. I shared with you last year I shared it with you? Or last 2 years? During 3 days of glory. It was last year. When I was reading about that thing, then they would take the newborn baby and put it in his hand, and they will eat the furnace hard. So down there, they will be beating drums so that as the child is crying, they will be beating the drum to overwhelm the sound of the baby. God left them to repent for centuries. They did not. That's why God says, you know what? I will give you all this land. You will overtake them. And one of that city is Jericho. They worship several kind of God that God was fed up with. And so God wants to destroy them and then let the Israelites come in. And I like the way God communicates. See, one of the things I want you to notice when you read the Bible is how God communicates. And when God was going to communicate to Joshua, in Joshua 6 verse 2, he says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hands Jericho. I have, not I will. And do you know what? Because Jericho is one of the most fortified cities in the world at that time. Don't forget, Rahab's house was built on the fence. See, those days, fence are not this tiny thing block that you see people put on the road though, to cover their house. That's not fence. That's child's play. Fence in those days were fortified. You know, imagine a fence that could be, like in Jericho, for example, I was told, you know, someone said that, you know, some theologian says that it could take 3 lanes of chariots, 3 lanes. You know, 3 lanes, like this three, this road. You know, this one here is just 1 lane. 3 of it. That's how a fence can be wide. Fortified. And the people in Jericho have noticed that Israelites have gone conquering nations. And that they were coming to their own town now. You know what they did? They shut the gates. So that no one came in, no one came out. But God told Joshua, he says in verse 3, and ye shall compass the city, and ye men of war, and go round about the city once. I'll do a teaching very soon that I titled Sight and Sound. It's a teaching of the Spirit. The people of God have to learn how to walk in the Spirit, how to take your possession. There's something called the power of sight. I'll teach you those maybe next month. Power of sight. My spiritual father told me, he said, when they began the church in Ife, him and his wife, my spiritual mom, they went to Living Faith Church, Ota. 50,000 capacity. They went there and sat down to attend. Not, you know now, theology no be the same now. But they just went there, just sight. See, when you get, you want to do something big, right? You need sight. Just go and see somebody doing it big there. You to just go and feed. There's something called the power of sight. That's what I'm teaching for today. I will teach you how this thing works. See, the first healing in mass I did, I saw a man of God, he was young, with his coat, not suit. Hello! It's atmosphere for miracle. Jesus Christ the same today? Yeah, that's another miracle over there! I was just seeing the video, I shot the laptop, ran to the Ed Center University. Everybody in the sick bay, they got healed that day. I went to meet the nurse in charge. I said, please, I want to go to the sick bay. He said, come down. What's wrong with you? I said, no, I want to go to the sick bay. Before she said, Jack, I took off to the sick bay. Went to the female sick bay first. And men were not allowed to go there, but I didn't care. I went there. I said, all of you here, I'm discharging you. Take it. Only one boy, baby child, did not leave that day, and was because hot water poured on the child. So I prophesied that next tomorrow when I come, I don't want to see this child here. I came back the next day, the child has been discharged. I was told that morning the child was discharged. But every other person left that day. Sight. Don't worry, it's not today. Sight. Don't forget when I was teaching you on how to overcome temptation last 2 weeks. The Bible says in the book of Jude, he says, Lot was a righteous man, but in sin and in yearning and seeing those things that they did in Sodom, he said his righteous spirit was what? There's power of sight. What do you see? God told him, Joshua, he says, see, this is not my today's teaching, but I don't want to go into it. Don't worry, I'll give you next week, next month, when we'll go into it properly. But here's the point I want you to see, the communication in our spirit. He says, I have given you. And when they got to Jericho, what was the strategy? Simple. He says, go around it 6 times. And the 7th time, they will give a shout. Listen,
How many of you did physics? What will be the measure, the intensity of sound that you will produce that will bring down walls that vehicles can run on? What kind of sound do you want to give? These are strategy in the spirit. I can't keep giving you examples, my own personal life examples. When situation shows up this way, I just laugh. I just laugh in the Holy Ghost. Just laugh. It doesn't make sense. Just laugh. And with a shout. Listen, it's not a mistake that the first introduction about God that we saw in scripture, he was moving. It was not a coincidence that at the advent of the Spirit, there was a sound in the upper room. Sound. Why the Spirit of God making me dwell on this sound? It's not for today. You can't be a quiet Christian. Don't do. Listen. Like Samsung, even if he's not physically walking, talk and say they walk. The word of God in my mouth, it they walk. It they walk, it they walk, it they walk. It they walk, it they walk, it they walk. Anytime I speak in tongues, it they walk. It they walk. Start with ya ya. With joy. See, you might look like you have been exuberant. Some might say it's juvenile exuberance. No! It's a training in the spirit. I'm sure you are aware about Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel. They came to tell him, they said, see, three kings are planning to finish you. Three kings of three kingdoms. The Bible says Joseph had said, the Bible says he went on his knees and he makes some powerful prayer. Everybody, he commanded a fast. And everybody began to fast and pray. As they were fasting and praying, do you know what happened? A prophet rose up and gave a word. I want to read it to you to see how they responded to the word. Look at it. Let's go. 2 Chronicles, everybody. Second Chronicles 20, he says in verse 2, then there came some that told Joseph had saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea. I prophesy over someone here. Listen, indeed, wickedness is real, but more real is our victory. Every wickedness of the wicked against you and yours, today they are broken off in the name of Jesus. Every challenge you are walking out of them today, by the energy of the Spirit, your victory is manifest. Says the Spirit of God. The Bible says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord and before the new court and said, O Lord God, our fathers, thou art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the Eden? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? He was bringing into question the undefeatable personality of God. Verse 8, and they dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh on us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before his house and in thy presence. That means in those days, Israelites, when they have any evil, famine or locust or any war, if they run into the house, they will be saved. That's why the Bible says the house of the Lord is a what? A fortress. They will run into it and they will be saved. Let me tell you, these are teachings and symbolisms. In those days, the house of God, what is inside the house of God? The Ark of Covenant. The Ark of God that represented what? His presence. Do you understand? When you read shadows, use the lens of the New Testament and you get the principles there. So what was their fortress there? The Holy Ghost. Let me just quote through because of time. Verse 12, it says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes on thee. Verse 13 says, And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Ha. Then verse 14, Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levites of the sons of Asaph. You know Asaph? Asaph and David were the real co-authors of the book of Psalms. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Hallelujah. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. They were praying, crying, and the prophet says, Hear me, everybody, don't bother about crying anymore. The battle is not yours, says the Lord. And guess what? The interesting thing is, what they did after hearing that word was what amazes me. Let me read to you. Verse 16 says, Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Simple. The Lord only told them to go and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's all. But do you know what he did? Look at what they now did. In verse 18, And Jehoshaphat bowed his head. They respond to the word of God with worship. But Jehoshaphat bowed his head, his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Verse 19, And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of the Kohites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Verse 20, And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, now hear what Jehoshaphat said. Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe your Lord, your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Did God tell him to do so? No. This was just a response to God's word. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, and to say what? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. That's dummy. Army are coming against you. Three nations. But just because you heard a word from the Lord that says, don't worry, the battle is not yours. And then you went to tell all your singers to be at the forefront of war. Are you crazy? They should praise the beauty of holiness. Now, you know, sometimes we say things in church like, let us worship God in the beauty of his holiness. Do you know the meaning? Check other translations. No time. In the original Hebrew, it simply means praise God in your best attires. That means they were to dress with the best clothes. Do you know how people go to war those days?
Helmet, breastplate, shoes, big shoes, kneecaps. You understand what I'm talking about? With shield.
But Josaphat told them to go and wear nice clothes, put on nice cologne, and bring trumpets, and begin to sing unto the Lord, that the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. That's dummy. But it's a strategy in the spirit. Let me tell you, when they got there with singing, the Bible says the three nations and their armies, the Bible says they help themselves to kill themselves. Look at it now. Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. How were they smitten? For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. You don't get it. There were three nations coming against Judah. But as these guys began to sing, are you listening to me? I'm teaching you the things of the spirit. These three nations were coming against Judah, but as they began to sing and praise God and worship him in the beauty of holiness, that means in their nice attire, the Bible says the Moabites, alright, and the, what do you call them now? And the Ammonites, they join hands together to conquer Seir. And as they conquer Seir, the Ammonites and the Moabites fought themselves too, and they killed themselves. All of them died. When the children of Israel got there, they met dead bodies. 24 says, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. You see, this is a gory stuff, right? But there's a teaching there. What was the teaching? They were singing. Singing to what? To the promise of God that the battle is his. Listen, if you would look at every challenge as not your battle, but as a battle that God has won. Do you know what that does to you? It makes you to assume the place in which God has placed you. Glory to God. And this is faith. So you see, joy as it is, singing. You see, I say joy. We express singing with laughing. We express joy rather with singing. We express joy with laughing. It's a strategy in the spirit. Cultivate it. Listen, it might be mechanical at first for you, but as time goes on, your body, your soul will become normal with it. You'll be used to it. I've told you that after your morning devotion, set up like 5 minutes where you just laugh. And while you are laughing, be thinking of the challenges that are facing you and just laugh. You know, let me tell you something. The first day I went on air, I traveled on air. You know, I like the window side, you know. So as I sat at the window side, I looked down. When we just took off, I said something, the Spirit of God said to me, he says, can you see anybody's house here? I said, no. Can you see anything? I said, no. He said, I own all these things. The things people kill people for. Just few meters ahead, you can't see it. It looks so tiny. He says, this world is vanity. And then as we ascended high, we went into the sky, above the clouds. No, the cloud is just, this cloud you are seeing that forms rain, is just above us a little. When you go above the clouds, you go into the sky, you'll be seeing the cloud itself. A time will come, this blue thing you are seeing is what you'll be seeing down. Do you know what? Anytime, I'm telling you the power of sight. Anytime I need something and I want to pray, that picture comes back to me that, what am I? God, you are too big. Now you get this thing. Now you get this word. You won't see any human being. Everybody will look, at first they will look like ants. Later on, you won't see anything. Now you can see why God laughed when he saw the kings of the heads planning against his salvation. Him, he laughed. Listen, we laugh too. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's where we belong. We laugh. We are imitators of God. And that's why the church is God's strategy to train us in the things of God. We rejoice at situations. We rejoice over situations. We rejoice. We express joy in the God of our salvation. We laugh in faith. We talk situations and say, you can't intimidate our Lord. You are too small to intimidate our Lord. And many people still don't get the point about David. David said, you come to me with armor, you come with me with shield, you come with me with javelin, but I come in the name of the Lord of the Hebrews. That was his boast. And God likes you to boast like that in him. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 34 verse 2, he says, I will make my boast in the Lord. He says, and the humble shall hear it and be glad. That means when you make your boast in the Lord and people feel like you are too proud, they are the one who is proud. He says, the humble shall hear it and be glad. That means an humble person, according to God's word, is somebody who sees you make your boast in the Lord and he sees you and is glad. You make your boast in the Lord. You talk big in the Lord. You know, like Brother David put something on Facebook one day, and the thing got me praying in tongues. He says, he just a random, of course, he's a funny person. Sometimes when I read his post, I roll off on the chair. I'm sorry to say this. He just wrote, he says, no rush for life, I beg. If land finish, we'll go buy a house. And that sounds very trivial, but when I saw it, boom, I rejoiced. I shared it. Then one of my protege's mom too commented, says, and if house finished, we'll go buy skyscrapers. Glory to God. That's the way we respond to things. Glory to God. I rejoice. You know, let me just close with this. You know, I was sitting down one time and I asked myself, who are the preachers that I know that are big today in the kingdom? And I was thinking about 1, 2, 3, and I was looking at them, and I remember that something I noticed that I want to tell you. I realized that some of them, their life really expresses the things they preach. There is one, he will always say it, the world is mine for the taking, and the guy was just looking fresh. I said, I like that one. There's that one too, Creflo Dollar. Oh, I've mentioned his name. Yeah, he said things like, I am filled with the Holy Ghost and I got a bonus, man. That's why my name is Dollar. You see, I get this thing. God is good to me. He's going to get his goodness to me. And he's been saying it 10 years, 20 years, almost 30 years, 30 something years now. The guy is just growing muscles, going to gym, looking good, looking fresh. 50s. There's that guy again too. That one does not even have good English accent. Praise the Lord. You see, you're not worried about the problem. The guy is from Singapore. Oh, we're gym. The guy, just goodness of God. The guy just enjoy himself. You know what? He said he went to... He was traveling one day. They now asked him for his passport. And they saw his passport. They said, is this you? They detained him for 3 hours or 4 hours or thereabouts. He said, no, this is not you. You can't. This age does not match with this face. They say you falsify your age. He said, no. I think he's 57 or 58. I don't know. But he looks like 30. The same thing with his wife. I say, I like that. There's another one too. That one is Popsy don't walk for around before you come. John Austin. His dad were the contemporaries of Kenneth E. Hagin.
They shook the town, shook the city. These guys, they bought a whole stadium and turned into church. Even though the guy is not a theological, forgive me. But you're saying, God wants to be good to you. He's just enjoying the goodness of God. And the guy looks so cute. So, I like that one. Let me tell you, let me tell you this before I close. You know one of the reasons why it took me long to give my or receive Christ into my heart, beg your pardon? Because everyone that came to preach to me when I was in school, they would wear polo and talking with pant trousers like this and bring trousers like this. Wear sandal. So I felt, if this is how Christianity is, God, I want to think twice. Sometimes I will feel like, let me just enjoy my own self first. Let me first look good first, later on, when I'm growing old. But thank God I now found people like Ned Copeland. I found out that you can be rich and be godly. You can have a royal well like Ned Copeland and still be humble. He's arguably the richest pastor in the world. I said, oh, I like that one. That your hair can be clean. That you can brush your teeth, that you can wear nice cologne, that you can look good and still dispense the power of God. That you can go out on evangelism. Those is when I go on evangelism with my friend in school. They used to tell us, na lie, na babe, na they fine. So that's not fine, not too fine. Persuaded evangelism when they look like this. We say we are the new normal. We are not the normal. Stash our clothes. Knock, knock, knock. Even you, if you don't hear Jesus, when you hear a perfume, you go believe Jesus now. Glory to God. I said, I like that one. I like that lifestyle. Listen to me. You can have it big. You can eat your cake and still have it. Yes, in Christ. You can enjoy His goodness and dispense His power. You can dispense His power and still live long. I have raised the dead. I've healed the sick. I'm going to heal more. And I'm going to keep looking good. Listen, when we say look good, it's not about what you wear. It's not about wearing the most expensive thing. It's about looking good with what you have. You can have 5 shirts and you will take good care of it. Glory to God. I think I need to stop here. Were you blessed? Rejoice in the God of your salvation. Rejoice. Come on, I want us to demonstrate some joy here right now. Are you ready? Get on your feet, somebody. We're going to demonstrate some joy right here, right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen to me.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiry, counseling, prayer, and partnership, please call +234 8074 0785 66. We celebrate you.